Hey, it's a Getaway Friday here. Friday, February the 25th, 2022, last Friday in the month of February, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship, which can be heard live every Friday here at 11:10 a.m., repeated on Sunday morning at 8:10 a.m. I always hear the Sunday morning rebroadcast, and Wednesday afternoon at 3:10 p.m. All episodes are on the website, wwgh1071.com. Dating back to March of 2019? I always say 2019. I think it's 18. Is it 18? 2018. 2018. We have been around a while. And the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday message can be heard on this station Sunday at 12:15 p.m. Also available on the website on the archive page. And we're eventually going to get that scheduled for a replay here soon enough, so you'll hear that more than once a week coming up. So that'll look forward to that.
Look forward to that.
You know what's funny, Pastor Whitaker? Every week you see me grab this note card, which is basically just the intro to your show. I don't need this, but for some reason, grab it.
In case your mind goes.
In case my mind goes, you're right.
You know, it's funny. The news feed has become so important on the Sunday message, and or our message feed, and we do a Facebook Live on Community Christian Fellowship from that, and good old Facebook keeps cutting it halfway through, three quarters way through, but anyway, it's really causing a bit of an issue there. So I do want to encourage you guys to not only listen at 12:15 thereabouts, or to go to the archives, because Adam posts that very quickly. In the archive, just go to WWGH and go to the archives and scroll down. You'll see the Pastor Spot, go through that. The very next thing is Community Christian Fellowship with that day's current message. And one thing that's a blessing about that is, no matter how bad the Facebook feed goes, our message over, Adam's got it figured out now, and we're getting some cooperation there in our end too, to where the message is very clear. I think it's sometimes more clear than it is from the pulpit. But anyway, it comes through very clear, and you can hear that every week, and that's a blessing.
It really is. I've heard it a couple times on Sunday. As I say, I hear the Sunday replay. Obviously, I'm here on Friday for the live show, but I hear the Sunday replay and the message on Sunday, and that's a nice thing to have available.
It really is. It really is. You know, one thing nice is, excuse me, we've had people that end up in nursing homes and different places, and you can just tune in the radio, and there you are, because believe it or not, there's still some people that don't use internet.
A few people.
Very few, but there's some, and I recently went and bought a radio and took it to a lady in the hospital, because she doesn't use internet, but she can get the nurses to tune in the station when she's ready to listen, and that's just a huge blessing there. It's good to be here today.
Yeah.
Happy birthday again, Scott.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Young man, 41 years old.
Moving right along, though.
You're the same age as a daughter of mine. let me open us in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings and all that you give to us. And Lord, that we always know that we wake up with a new day tomorrow. And what happens today does not have to define our tomorrows. Help us to look to you for blessings. Lord, I do lift up the Ukraine today, and all the people that are just displaced or scared or losing their homes. And Lord, I pray for your comfort and your intervention. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I'll tell you, it's hard not to have Ukraine on your mind.
You know what, and I said it earlier this morning, the only thing that, right, besides the tragedy that's going on for those people, the thing that makes me sad about that is when people talk about it, it's very political, but if you ask them why it's going on and what's going on, they don't seem to know. That's
right,
sad.
Right. Well, and you know, it's you know, any time throughout the world and through nation build, even our nation building in other nations, there's aggression that you got to question. And aggression many times comes through wanting more and wanting to reach out and have more and have. You know, do you ever notice that not only nations, but people in general are rarely satisfied with what they have? Think about that. It's very hard to find people. I think that people start changing a little bit when they get into maybe their 40s or later 30s, 40s, and then you'll see it more. They start realizing, this is probably what I'm going to have. I need to enjoy what I have, start making plans to be comfortable with what I have, and then enjoy life a little more. I hope they get to that point. You know, some people go to their grave wanting more, wanting, you know, grab everything they can grab, and it's just such a frivolous thing. And many times when we have that attitude, we end up running roughshod over people to get it, and that hurts also. I'm going to read this morning in 1 Corinthians. Of course, this is a book written by Paul to the church at Corinth. Paul had planted that church there several years earlier, and he's writing back to them. Corinth was a really, really busy seaport. A lot of trade going on in Corinth at the time. So if you would compare it to today, you would see a city that was hustling and bustling and probably had a wide array of social issues, a wide array of things going on. So he's writing to the church there. And you know, he's talking about to them about their problems and how to face some of those problems. And I think it's something that we need to really pay attention to today. We seem to focus so much on the fact that we have problems, but we don't address what we need to do about the problems. Some people just seem to live and feed off the fact that I've got problems. And we've always had problems. They'll always be with us. But if you have to decide, am I going to live as a victim of the problems, or am I going to overcome? And even if I totally can't overcome the base root problem, I can look at it differently, and I can sidestep it, if you know what I mean. So I want to read this morning, it says, Paul starts out in writing to the church at Corinth. He says in verse 4, I thank God always for you because of the grace given to you in Jesus Christ. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because of our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. I want to read that. I read that this morning because it kind of reminds me a little bit of what I'm hearing coming out of Ukraine. Paul's encouraging them that Christ is basically giving them everything they need, and he's commending them for their spirit and their faith and what they're going through, and as they wait on the day of the Lord. And in the Ukraine, I've been reading some stories funneled through different pastors and different people. First of all, I understand the Ukrainian people send more Christian missionaries to the rest of Europe than any other country in that region at all. So it's got a very strong faith influence in the Ukraine. But what we're hearing coming out of the Ukraine is of course, there's fear. But there's also a lot of people saying, you know what, I don't know how we would go through this if we didn't have our faith in God and God taking care of us. And we're going to be okay. It's going to be different, but it's going to be okay. And there's going to be pain. There's going to be sorrow. There's going to be unfairness. There's going to be none of the things. There's a lot of bad things that will happen. People lose lives. People have already lost lives. Homes have been burned. People have been killed. But they said, you know what, we're going to be okay. We're going to come out the other end. And I think that whenever we're in a struggle, whatever it is in life, it's important to know we're going to come out the other end. This isn't all there is. And, you know, as a Christian, I have great faith in knowing this isn't all there is. There's a lot more ahead of it. You know, my brother David was ill with COVID, very, very, very ill. I think he wouldn't have been as ill if he wasn't right on the edge of Lake Superior. I'm being sarcastic. But, you know, that's so cold up there. I don't know how he does it. I commend him for living up there. But anyway, things didn't look good. And even after he made it through and got off the vent and out of the hospital, the weakness was still there. And a lot of things were very slow. But God's brought him back to full swing in the pulpit again, and he's active in the church and doing what he was called to do. And you know, look, it doesn't always turn out that well in our human eyes, in our human thought. but it does.
Well, you know what's very interesting about what you say there? It hits me in a nerve here, because it's funny how day to day we worry, okay, I got to pay the bills, and I got all the car tire has went flat, and I need to get new brakes on the car, and I got to get to this meeting on time. And these things will drive you nuts, and they will get you amped up, and they are worries. I'm not discounting them, but have yourself an illness where you could no longer be here, where your toes are on that door, and you will find out how little those things really matter.
You know, it's funny. I was in jest. I said Monday morning in a. I think it might have been Wednesday. I don't know. I'm getting day slip, but anyway, they all run together.
Yeah.
I said to someone, you know, when I lose most of the rest of my mind, I just pray that what I am left with is a happy mind. And it's because, you know, we get so busy, and I have not actually done anything I planned this week. Isn't that amazing? Maybe one day a little bit, but we get sidetracked, and you know, anyone can understand as a pastor, that's a common thing, because we don't know what's going on out there around us. But you know, but at the same time, you know, there was a lady yesterday that went back to the hospital. She'd been there once from a fall, and they missed some things, and they went back. Now they admitted her, and you know, that looks so horrible for her. But you know what? When you can go in there and encourage them and pray with them, it's going to be okay. You've got people around you that love you. They're going to take care of you. You know, you're not alone in all this. Those are very satisfying things to do, and you leave feeling good, even though it was something completely different than what you had planned. Ladies, if you're listening out there that go to the church, I am going to get that plumbing done I was telling you about. we got a couple things that need hooked up, and I've been promising I was going to do it. And yeah, us pastors sneak into that kind of stuff too sometimes. But you know, we do. We get drawn away, and we get sidetracked. Illness. You know, something interesting. We had a lady in the church that just went through a unbelievable round of chemotherapy. She was in remission anyway, but what they wanted to do was put her in a deep, deep remission. So they put her in the hospital, and they put her under this really intense chemotherapy. And the reason they wanted her in the hospital is because it was really going to be harder on her. Well, she came through with flying colors, but you know, she told me when she got out, and of course she had to be isolated for a while. Her immune system was nil when she got out. But she said the thing that she wanted to get to back so badly was to get to church, their church family, and listen. And you know, it's funny, Scott, because you know, we started doing the program on the radio on Sunday, and we do the live feed and those things. That allows those people to do that. You know, you're not completely left isolated and without. And you know, from talking to me, I have a continual burden for elderly people. I don't have the time all the time to be with them every day. I try to see them when I can and encourage them. And I'm so blessed to have a membership in the church, people that pick up that ball and carry it for me. Yesterday when this lady needed to go back to the hospital and she didn't want to go by squad, one of our younger mothers left, you know, just came and went and did it. And then went back to her house and fed her cat and, you know, all those kind of things. To have those people working with you and you know, understand this is just something they're doing. They're not doing it for recognition. You notice I didn't mention her name. They're doing it because it's what you do. And I think that we can come out the other end and see positive things. We're in a tough time right now in this country. I don't know. I do know some things that I do think I know, and this is very little. I do know I think gas prices are going up. And I think with gas prices going up, I think food's going to continue to go up. I think our cost of living is going to increase quite a bit. We're probably going to have some issues with just people with more financial issues. But you know, that's not what drives us. That's not what defines us. We've been through difficult times before. Do you know when the fastest time in the United States of America that the church ever grew?
Depression.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It was the Depression. And it was that is where the old storefront church came from, because all these businesses were going out, and there were storefronts all through the cities. And people just, you know, what they really started originally doing was they were having a place to meet people for prayer for our country, for prayer for their families, and coming together. And churches developed in those little storefronts. And the church grew immensely from that. And you know, now is a time when I believe that if you're out there, Christians, if you're out there, you need to come together in prayer and praying for the country, praying for the world and what's going on. You know, if we're going to live by our faith, we need to be doing that, and we need to trust that. I think that, and we can cross some lines there. You know, you invite everyone into your church. It's not, you know, we can't go out there and say, well, this is for our church members only. You know, that's just not the way Christ did it, for sure. But we need to invite people to come together and pray with us and earnestly lift up our country in prayer. And then to look positively for tomorrow. In other words, don't go into a prayer meeting and then walk out in all doom and gloom and saying, well, we prayed. Come on. You know what I mean? First of all, one thing that, I'm going back to that statement I always make, something that drives me nuts, and I say it quite a bit. Maybe that's why I'm nuts. But anyway, is when people will say, you know, we've tried everything, and I guess all that's left to do is to pray. Say what? That's the first thing you should do in a situation. First of all, you'd pray. First of all, thank God for where you are, because he's got you there. Second thing is, pray God to God for direction in the decisions you're going to make. And third, pray for that we'll recognize the direction he's sending us in those decisions. And, excuse me. So that's the first thing we do. And we come together and we pray. And then when we leave the prayer, don't leave with, the Bible tells us continually, don't even when it talks about fasting, don't do it with a sad countenance on your face. Get rid of the sackcloth and ashes. Throw some water on your face. Be bright and say, you know what? We prayed about it. We're trusting God. Let's move forward. Let's do this. Let's pick up the ball and go. And continually encourage other people around us. You're never going to influence things for the positive by being a negative crybaby. And some people seem to take great joy in that. Do you ever notice anyone, Scott, you ever been around anyone that just goes from tragedy to tragedy? And if there's not one there, they will manufacture one, because that's their happy place. It's their sad place, but it's their comfort zone. And we've all been around people like that. And eventually, you just have to step away from them.
Well, you know, and I make this statement all the time, and a ton of people will disagree, but if you really think about it, it is the truth. And I'm sorry that it is the truth, but, and it's not 100% of the time, but people don't change. They really don't. Situations change, which can cause a noticeable change in a person. But people who are in the same situation every day, all the time, they don't change. It's hard to expect somebody to do that.
The only way I've really saw deep, true change in a person is if a person accepts Christ in their life and really starts digging into the fundamental of Scripture and how to lead your life. And I've seen great changes in people, great, great changes in people. And but that's, if you're just doing the same old thing, being the same old person with the same old attitude, you're just gonna keep feeling those flies, and you're not gonna feel them any different than you did the one before. I want to read something else as I go on in this, because it's real important to understand. You know, I talk about coming together in prayer as the church. You know, people say, "Oh, the church is always fighting, right? There's always people, you know, splitting and not liking this group or that group." Well, see, this isn't a new thing, because where I'm reading from is in the first century AD. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so there may be no divisions among you, and you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some of Chloe's household, mentioned someone there, have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean of this is, one of you says, I will follow Paul, another says, I will follow Apollos, another says, I will follow Cephas, still another says, I will follow Christ. If Christ is divided, was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also was baptized in the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with human words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. He talked there about, some of you say, well, you know, I was baptized by Paul. Apollos was one of the early church teachers that was very personable, a real people person, a real appealing, like we like to see in pulpits today a lot of times. Paul was not. Paul was, from what we understand in Scripture, he was kind of a put together with a lot of different pieces, just to put it, you know, in lay terms. But he just wasn't an attractive guy. He wasn't well-spoken. But God used him very, very greatly. But anyway, he talks about everyone saying that, well, I follow this person baptized me, I follow. He said, get rid of that. You know, you're under Christ, period. And that's where you need to be. And quit putting all this other stuff ahead of this. You know, one time, well, sometimes you'll say, you know, you've heard of great, not great, but popular church teachers. And they say, oh, I go to this person's church, or I go to that person's church. That's one of those things that I try to hide from, because when people come to our church, they come to the body of Christ, to a church, not my church. I'm a pastor there, but you know, I don't want people to put me in that position of saying that you know we follow him. I don't want anyone to follow me. I want people to listen to what I say and follow Christ, and even question me when I'm wrong, because I'm not right all the time. I always encourage people to dig into the Word and verify the things they're hearing from me, because it's that personal study where they'll grow. But he says, if I go all the way down here to the second half of verse 16, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of all its power. People want human wisdom. They want to hear someone that tickles their ears. They want to hear, you know, a great speaker can say a whole lot and never say anything. And people think they said so much because it sounded so well. I'll tell you who somebody was a master at that, was Bill Clinton. Now, I'm not saying he didn't always say anything, but what I'm saying is, you could dislike Bill Clinton and listen to him give a speech, and at the end of the speech say, you know, he's not that bad of a guy. He just had that golden tongue and able to do that. And then, you know, Paul's talking about there, I want to speak the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I may not be the most eloquent in the world. I may not have baptized any of you, but I was called to preach. God's given me the word, and this is what I'm doing. You need to listen to the word of God, not to the person that's presenting it. And that's what's so crucial. And that's when we get down. Here's the thing. When you get down to where those people are in the Ukraine right now, that, you know, I posted a picture last night of a whole massive bunch of them hiding in a subway tunnel, or staying down there to prevent the bombs from hitting them. When you get down to that, where that you're, the whole common denominator of everybody is to try to stay alive, you're going to need the truth. You're going to need to know what God has imparted unto you, knowledge-wise, faith-wise, and you're not going to need to say, oh, guess what? I go to Joey Thomas's church. Yeah, that doesn't matter anymore. You know, nobody's going to be down there wearing Abercrombie and Fitch stuff. You know what I'm saying? Speaking to you about the flowery stuff, it comes down to brass tacks. So when that happens and you're with your family, where do you go? Scott, in this current environment right now, in our country, I've often said, as go people's pockets, as go their voting. People want to be comfortable. They want to be able to know they got the paycheck at the end of the week or whenever they get it. They want to know their bills are paid. They want to know they can buy something if they want to go to the store and get it. And they want to eat what they want and not have to worry about things. But the thing is, we may all be coming to a point, and some of us do throughout normal times come into these ways, when that's not the way it is. And who are you going to be when that happens? And you know, Paul's addressing this a little bit there. Who are you going to be? You know, you need to trust what Christ has said, that he loves you, that he's with you, that he walks with you. Things are going to be all right in the end. And in the meantime, it's going to be a battle. You know, it's going to be a battle. I've seen people battle illness that have come through with a smile on their face and looking for tomorrow. And I've seen people battling illness that live scared to death on the edge of their seat because they're afraid they're going to find out tomorrow the cancer is going to come back. Now, I understand that, and I understand that's a horrible fear. But it's wonderful when you can go beyond that and say, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to be all that I can be and do everything Christ has made me to be. And I'm going to love other people, and I'm going to reach out, and I'm going to live life the way that I should live it. And if it comes back, it comes back. Not wait on it to come back. One thing it really bothers me when I hear someone say to me, what's the use? You ever hear that? What's the use? You know, come on, get a positive attitude. Get out there and look for a good job, you know. What's the use? It all falls apart anyway. Man, that's a defeatist attitude. And that person's not going to get ahead, or they're not going to get anywhere. Because they're always looking for what's going to happen. And sure enough, you know, it's going to happen.
Well, you know, there are patterns. And as you say, there could be some rough times coming up, and a lot of it may be tied to this Ukraine situation, and only time will tell. But what bothers me, in general, is how we, and it is a United States thing, not exclusively, but it's unfortunate, how we don't pay attention until it's upon us. If you go back 20 years and look at what the people who knew the situation almost uniformly have been saying for 20 years about what could happen here.
Taiwan's next.
Yeah, well, but you know what? The interesting thing is this happened in World War II. Not too long ago, I went around during World War II, but I got the Marion Star Archive, and there was a lady who came to the Women's Club in Marion, Ohio in 1939 who had been to Germany when travel was still allowed there and everything was fine, and she preached, Hitler is awful. I've seen what's going on over there. He's going to be she called him the Samson of Europe in 1939. And the people in Marion, Ohio in 1939, pre-World War II, called her an hysterical woman. She was an alarmist.
Every day, don't you?
But she was right. We found out a couple years later she was right.
I was an ornery little boy. And I can speak that my brother and I could both be kind of ornery, and most kids are. But we would not heed warnings, and we would continually be ornery to the point that we knew eventually we were going to get a spanking. But we pushed it right to the edge till we got that spanking. Now, if we knew that was going to come the first time that we were scolded and told, you do that. But the problem is, people are mentally lazy. They don't want to think about tomorrow, and they want to think about today. That's the reason people go out. You know the old song, everybody's working for the weekend? Well, they work for the weekend, and then they borrow lunch money on Monday. And that's just kind of the general attitude a lot of time of people. I'm not going to worry about it till it hits me. And the problem is, if you take that attitude, it's going to hit you. And the other thing is, we have a lot of, I will say, very selfish ambition to have more and more and more. This country has the means to take care of itself and has for a long, long time. We certainly did energy-wise a year or so ago. But through different deals and through different things, there's reasons that things happen and politicians do things. I think one of the greatest mistakes that we ever made in this country is when Richard Nixon stepped his foot on Chinese soil and started normalizing relations with China. Because China has made it clear from the get-go, they had disdain for America. They didn't. They don't like America. They wanted to defeat America. I mean, this has been the end. So let's just make things normal with them. And we have, you know, it originally, you know, everyone had said that, you know, well, everything Chinese was in a bubblegum machine, because that's the kind of stuff that came over from China. And now, you know, we have surrendered our electronics, our pharmaceuticals, our on and on and on it goes, to this country that has nothing in mind but to eventually control us and take us over. So why in the world? We do it out of ambition and selfish ambition.
Well, I agree with you 100% because I think this is something else that's lost on Americans, and it's unfortunate, is that our president overseas in other countries is seen probably more importantly than he is here. He's the man from the West. He's the leader of the free world. And when our president meets on soil with people who are not so great, it normalizes them. That's why those people want to meet them, because they want to be photo-opped with them.
They're shaking hands.
They're shaking hands. They're meeting. They must not be so bad.
And then the politician wants to say things to improve the relationship. I remember when George W. said that he and Putin were basically kindred spirits. Remember that? And it just blew me away. I thought, I know you're trying to suck up to the guy, but for crying out loud, you know, this is an evil man. This is a man who comes out of the KGB, for crying out loud. You know, we look at China. China, the human rights abuses in China just make you ill. But, you know, once again, we're back there for the Olympics. The media can't wait to be you know, darlings of those people, and there was never a mention of the human rights violations were there. You know, I don't want to encourage people to always look at negative stuff, but if you dig into the human rights violations in China, it is so sad.
You know, it's
they kill at will.
Well, it's interesting to me because obviously Putin is the discussion of Ukraine right now, and there is only one political figure, and just to not be political about it, so I'm not even going to say the name, but people can look it up. There's only one political figure, and it's not a president, who was completely critical of Putin constantly. And this person got on Putin's bad side and suffered some consequence because of it. But that person is the only person who's been consistently negative on Putin since Putin came to power in the early 2000s.
You know, a lot of Putin's power has been out of bluff. And they are not the economic powerhouse at all that people think they are. They have built up their military through the sale of oil to Europe, Western Europe. And he's used all that money to build his military. But they don't have the... That's one of the reasons they want Ukraine, because Ukraine is rich in resources. Rich in resources. But the thing is that evil is evil. And we need to address evil as being evil in this world and in this country when we deal with other people. We have no business, honestly, dealing with a country as evil as China. We just don't. And North Korea, for crying out loud. You know, the North Koreans, a lot of people don't know this, North Korea pays China a premium to send people back that defect to China from North Korea. And then they murder them when they come back. But they pay a premium to the people. You round them up. People turn in. If you can turn in a neighbor that's housing someone that snuck there from North Korea. It's just really sad. And they've done this. Hundreds of thousands have been killed that way. And we turn a blind eye because, oh, maybe we can normalize relations. Let's go visit there sometime. I have no desire to visit China. I know there's things that are kind of, you look back into a lot of Chinese history, there's some neat art, there's some neat architecture, but you know what? I don't have any desire to. And people say, oh, you're such an isolationist. That's not being an isolationist. It's, you know, in biblical times, God wanted the Israelites to show his power over the people, the evil nations that were evil. But they weren't to marry with them. They weren't to make deals with them. They weren't to make alliances with them. And every time they did, it backfired. Because they're coming from two completely different premises. This country, regardless of how things happened early in its inception, whether you like it or dislike it, the truth is, it's the land of the free and the home of the brave. We're free here. Scott, no one's going to tell you, if you decide to marry some lady that's very prolific with having children tomorrow, and you decide to have 15 kids, no one's going to stop you. Now, you need to be responsible and pay for those 15, but the point is you can. You're not going to lose your job because you had more than two kids, or you had a girl when you were supposed to have a boy. We're in a free nation that way. You're not going to get taken to jail because you worshipped in a certain type of a church. They're not going to haul you off to jail. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the old encampments in Siberia that the Russians use, but you talking about putting people in a place and working them in a situation where they had no hope and were freezing and half starving until they finally did die. I mean, what kind of brutal people do that to people? What kind of an evil mind says, let's just put them over here because they don't agree with us politically, and let's make them work themselves to death? Germany's done it. We know that China still does it. We know North Korea does it. And, you know, it was Ronald Reagan that I believe said that believed in peace through strength was his thing. I think it was Teddy Roosevelt that said, didn't he say walk softly and carry a big stick? Mm-hmm. Well, that's where we need to be. And we need to say, you know what, the world is not sharing the United States of America does not share the same ideals with the rest of the world. And we are going to align ourselves with those that do. We're going to be aware but protect ourselves from those that don't on them influencing us. And we are going to make this the great nation that we can make it and meant to be, where there is the opportunity. What's it say at Ellis Island? Give us your tired, your poor, your hunger, people yearning to be free. That's what this was. Now, even at Ellis Island, there had to be limits on it. People were, they tracked everybody. We've got to know where people are. I really wish that, and some people are going to disagree with me, we get hammered on this, but I really wish that we would take the Latin American people that have come over in this country at this point and say, okay, look, we're going to give you to this date to work towards your citizenship and get your citizenship, and then you're going to go back if you refuse to. But we're going to give, if you're here now, we got to close down the border and start doing what we need to do. We need to start, you know, this just can't be a flood because of, quite frankly, I had a guy argue this time that, oh, they don't bring that many drugs over the border. Baloney. You know, one backpack can carry enough fentanyl over the border to kill a city. And yes, it is happening. But yet, there's also people coming because they're hungry and they want to feed their family. They're coming here illegally because of the way they're doing it. So I say, why don't we just close the border? I mean, literally, let's close it and make it an organized thing. Let's do what we're supposed to do. But take those people that are already here and say, here's the situation. You know, we're going to give you a green card, but it's going to be good for 5 years. At the end of the 5 years, if you don't get your citizenship, you're going back. But you have to be an American, not a Mexican living here with your ideals and your plans. You need to be an American and adopt what we believe as people.
Well, I've always said the solution to the immigration problem in my mind, no matter who you are, is there are people here, they're living in houses, they're paying rent, they are working. How they are working for these people, that's between them and the IRS, I guess. Right. But beyond that, if somebody, whoever is in charge of this, would just go on television one day and say, listen, you have 60 days to go down to your Social Security office and register, and we need to get federal tax out of your paycheck. We need to pay into Social Security. We need to do all the things that are not being done.
We need to know who you are and where you are.
Who you are, right. But we are not going to send you back. You can pay your rent. You can do what, just like all other American citizens, this country would come very much out of debt, not totally, but to a great degree.
But I agree at the same time on my end is they need to work towards citizenship.
Oh, absolutely. But you know, we have got, whoever has been in charge of that, the tests you take, the documents you need, whatever it is, does anybody even know? Has anybody seen the citizenship test? Where do you take it?
I think that that's something, too, that has to be looked at. But it's also people need to be, and a lot of these people are undocumented. Okay, so document them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give them the 60 days. They got 60 days to be documented.
Right.
We want to know who you are, where you are. And yeah, we welcome you. You're here. But at this point on, we've got about all we can handle and still be viable in the workforce. As we need more of your family members, they can apply. And if we have room, they can come over. But we're Scott, you and I are just sitting here. I'm a pastor, and you are a combination of things, a radio manager, a host, all kinds of things. What we're speaking is the common sense that would be so simple, but because of the backdoor deals, the shuffling, and the political pressures, we have people that are making a lot more than you and I will ever dream of making that aren't doing these things, and they're common sense things. But we can look forward to a good tomorrow with some sense. Government, there's a reason no one trusts you. There's a reason no one trusts you, because we're sitting here talking about common sense things. Now, Scott and I don't agree completely, I don't think, on a lot of things. I don't know. We haven't had those discussions too much. But here's something we're coming to common ground on and saying, doesn't this make sense?
Well, it's a funny thing to me, because however you feel about immigration, the one thing is does anybody know exactly what you have to do to become a citizen? Because there is a reason that people are coming over illegally.
Because we're citizens by birth.
Right, right. If it were an easy process that you could come to the border and meet an agent of the federal government and do whatever needed to be done, I think most of these people would do it, unless you were doing something with drugs. So that would weed that out.
But that would be a simple process, too.
Right. But for some reason, we can't get there.
Because we don't want to get there. And it's ridiculous. We are letting the monkeys run the zoo. And I'm sorry, but that's just the way. We've had Republicans and Democrats, and this has been going on for a few decades now, and they are not doing what is a simple thing to be done. And part of it is because every time someone has a good idea, someone else wants to make it political and shoot them down. And quite frankly, I'll be honest with you, I don't believe that our news media helps us a bit. Because they have agendas and ideas on, and they just want to fight back and forth and get ratings. And come on, let's all come together and be Americans. And you know, this is one nation. You know, we adopted one nation under God only 70 years ago in this country. And if we're one nation under God, let's act like it. Just act like it. Where are those principles that teach us to love others and put others first? To trust God and look positively for tomorrow. To come together in prayer for a nation. You know, to take the self out of it. Less of me and more of him. Less of me and more of him. And I would believe it would solve a lot of problems. You know, I don't love everything everyone does, but God has told me I need to love everyone. And I think that we should have that attitude. You know, care about people. I don't agree with you, but I care about you. I don't agree with a lot of people. I guarantee you there's a lot of people who don't agree with me. But, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, God designed you for a purpose, too. And I've got to know that and trust that and understand that. Hey, I want to encourage you guys to come to Community Christian Fellowship. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. We are a Bible-believing, teaching, and prayerfully Bible-obedient church. And we have Teen Kid coming up. It'll begin this Tuesday night at 6:30 at the KP Hall, right at the corner of Water and Elm next to the church. And kids have a ball. And I'll be doing pizza with the pastor at the same time with teenagers that just show up, and we talk and they eat pizza. And we have a lot of neat stuff going on at the church. We're coming up on the 11th. If you're interested in this, get a hold of me. We're coming up on the 11th of March. We're going to have a game dinner where guys come in and the things they've been hunting all year long or fishing all year long, they're going to come in and we're going to have a guys' night. And, well, ladies, too, if you're into that. And there are a lot, believe it or not. But, you know, come to that. We're going to have a great guest speaker, a guy by the name of Dave Mason. I've known him for years. Great man. He's a real outdoorsman. They'll have a good time. We're going to have door prizes. It'll be great. But that'll be 6:30 Friday night on the 11th at the Church at Community Christian Fellowship. So God bless you guys. I think we're out of time.
We are.
WGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place for guests like